Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. All our previous episodes are at anchor.fm/RebT, ANCHOR.FM/REBT. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, shoot us an email at maximumtee@yahoo.com. We're in 421 Dalet Chaf Aleph here in Season 3 using the Yad Avraham. Let's see what Rabbi Elazar has to say about jealousy, lust, and honor. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, Hakina, jealousy, vihachtaiva, and lust, vihakavon, and honor, motzien es ha'adam in ha'olam, remove a man from the world. A short Mishnah, but still an important Mishnah, just like all of Pirkei Avos are. So in this Mishnah, he's listing three vices which serve to remove a man from the world. He understood well the destructive selfishness of these evil traits and would counsel people to pursue a life of selflessness instead. Do not be like the lintel of a doorway, out of reach for most people. Be like the doorstep, which though trod upon by all, will far outlast the rest of the building. That comes from Avostar Rabbeinu Nassan. In the Talmud, the descriptor Berebi, the Great One, is often added to Rabbi Elazar Kapar's name. Some versions of the Mishnah therefore write it as Berebi. He is called Rabbi Elazar, the son of Kapar. Jealousy, the word kina in Hebrew, commonly translated as jealousy, envy of another's achievements or advantages, and this is how it is understood here by many commentators like Rashi, Machzor Vitri, Meiri, Rav Bachi, and Rav. The evil of such jealousy is that it naturally leads to a cascade of more severe sins like quarreling and murder. God forbid, like in Cain and Hevel, and this is explained by Magen Avos. Kina can also be seen as anger, as in Deuteronomy, they provoke me with a non-god. It also can mean resentment, like in Megillah, Kina ad me'orer salina levein ha'umos, you will arouse the resentment of the nations against us. In Megillah 7a, the Talmud. Rav Yonah explains kina can manifest itself in three forms, such as resentment of all of those who have achieved success, like wealth and piety, where he doesn't have. This person desires that just as he has no achievements, all others should also not have it. Also, it could be jealousy of those who have achieved more than he. This individual doesn't begrudge others their success as long as he's the most successful of all. And then there's desire for success. This individual does not measure success by comparing himself with his peers and thus not concerned if they achieve more than he does. And then there is a good form of jealousy that's called kinah sofrim, jealousy between scholars, as Baba Basra explains. This refers to one who is jealous of the good deeds of others and aspires to be like them, causing him to improve his own ways and increase his Torah study. While positive, even jealousy between scholars is not ideal, for one should not aspire to greatness out of jealousy, but rather because it is the will of God. If there is a kinah that is wholeheartedly permitted, let your heart not envy sinners, rather it should seek to emulate fear of Hashem all the day. If one possesses jealousy, let it not find expression in desiring the evil way of sinners, rather let him be jealous of the ways of God. Seek to imitate them, for there's no better form of jealousy than this, as Rav Yonah points out. Lust describes man's desire to completely satisfy his craving for physical enjoyment. In all such matters, such as in pleasure, such as in relations, such as in food, such as in drinks, and so many different things, either through permitted, as Rav Meiri and Rav Bachi point out, or forbidden means, as Rashi points out in Machzor Vitri, Rav Yonah Magen Avos. Man can also lust after wealth, and in doing so, he falls prey to a hunger which feeds upon itself, for the verse states, a lover of money from Koheles will never be satisfied with money, as Rashi point out. Lust in any manifestation, as Rav Yonah points out, is evil, for one should never seek to acquire something, even a praiseworthy trait, just because he sees others who possess it. If one desires wisdom, let him pursue its acquisition for the purpose of bettering his service of God. If he desires wealth, let him amass it for the purpose of using the money to fulfill God's will. King David exemplified such selfless motives as he himself said in Psalms, O Lord, before you is all my yearning, meaning that his desires were never prompted by personal gain, but always for the sake of heaven. and honor. Here the Tana warns against the pursuit of personal honors. Rav Machzervichu, Meir Rav Bachin Maganovus explains, whether one coerces the public to bestow undeserved honor upon him out of fear, or covets the honor he believes himself worthy of on account of his Torah knowledge and mitzvah performance, he sins greatly, as Rav Yonah points out. There's a dispensation for Torah scholars to insist upon a certain degree of honor when their intention is to glorify the name of heaven and the Torah. As long as their motives are pure and they seek no personal benefit from such honor, it is permitted. And the Torah is very strongly against the pursuit of personal honor, as evidenced by the verses describing the Jewish king. We're first told in Deuteronomy, "You shall surely set over yourself a king," and Som Tassim, the term used, is expounded to teach the awe of the king must be upon the people and that he may never renounce his own honor. Kedushin explains this, for if a king were to renounce his honor, the people would not be in awe of him, as Ritva point out. Same authority which grants the king such glory also sets in place certain safeguards so that his heart does not become haughty over his brethren. If the Jewish monarch, the most revered individual of all mankind, is so cautioned against vanity, how much more so must commoners refrain from the pursuit of honor, as Rav Yonah points out. So all these things remove a man from the world. In a literal sense, these traits literally erode man's health and cause him to leave this world prematurely. Regarding jealousy, King Solomon says in Proverbs, "Envy brings rotting of the bones." In contrast to deteriorating flesh, a rotting bone cannot rejuvenate. Jealousy is like a malady also which has no cure. As Rav Bachya points out, the anxiety of constantly striving to stay ahead of one's peers brings with it a host of physical afflictions which shorten man's life, as Medrash Shmuel point out. By lust, Proverbs points out, the lust of the sluggard will kill him. As Rav Yonah explains, the permissible physical pleasure should be taken in moderation. Everything in moderation except for arrogance and anger, as the Rambam points out. But here, indulgence will destroy both body and soul, as Rav Bachya Maganovus and Medrash Shmuel points out. Also, the Gemara tells us that Joseph died 10 years earlier in Brachos 55 than his brothers because he assumed heirs of authority, as Rav Yonah points out. And that's the maxim from Psachim, authority buries those who have it. As Rashi Maganovus also points out, one who seeks honor will constantly be plagued by perceived insults and slights to his ego. Since verbalizing his discontent is too humiliating, he will suffer silently. Such anxiety will promote physical affections and a premature death. If you think about Korach, his rebellion, it was fueled by jealousy of his cousin Moshe's position of power and quote-unquote, and this led to his death. Gehazi, also the servant of Elisha from Malachim Ben, had a lust for wealth which resulted in him getting saras. And Yeravam, king of Israel, sought the honor reserved for the Jewish king of reading from the Torah during Hakel. For himself, therefore, contrived to prevent the people from traveling to Yerushalayim, where Rehavam, king of Judah, ruled, as it shows in Malachim. Instead, he directed the population to place his vital worship, and for this, he suffered a terrible end. Terrible, terrible end. The Medrash identifies these three traits as the cause of Adam's expulsion from the Garden of Eden, as Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, cited by Rashi and Rav Bachya, point out. Also, man's preoccupation with such base desires like jealousy, lust, and honor runs contrary to the very purpose of his existence, which is to strive for intellectual growth, refine his character traits. The main thing we're here to do on this world is to fine-tune our traits. The hardest thing in the world is to change our traits. It's harder to do that than to build a city, as Pirkei Avos points out later. The three sins here hinder man's progress in these areas, so while he might be alive, he's removed from the world. He's not counted among those who are living life the way it was meant to be, as Rambam commentary Meiri points out, and it's with the principle in Brachos that the wicked are considered dead even during their lifetime, as Medrash Shmuel with Rav Moshe Al-Mashnino points out. Maganovus also notes we've seen in two other Mishnayos that remove man from the world. Each Mishnah was talking about different aspect. Rav Yeshua in 2:11 was referring to man being removed from physical world. Rav Dosa ben Horkanes in 3:10 was referring to losing share in the world to come. And Rabbi Elazar Kapar states that the three sins in our Mishnah will remove a man from both from this world and cause him to lose a share in the world to come. And Tiferet Yisrael also interpreted in this fashion, and it's something to be very careful about. So honor, lust, jealousy, all things to avoid at all costs as much as possible. Anger and arrogance, we already know we have to go completely the opposite, but even these three things, try to temper it as much as possible using the permissible roots and using it only for good things, and thereby hopefully we'll all live on Meva Esrim Shana, a wonderful good life. Join us next time as we talk about the fact that things are very much beyond our control because it's all up to God here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.